Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my icy husband, Miko Alon.
Hi, guys. It's more like icy hot, I think, this week, considering that I'm to slather that on everything after the shoveling of snow and frolicking in the snow I've done in this past weekend.
After the crazy bomb cyclone that we got. We'll talk to you about that in a second. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We're going to open up the show talking all about current events and politics, and then we'll be moving on to the new vegan product segment. This week, we are tasting a new vegan milk chocolate bar by a company called Tazza. And then we'll be closing out the show with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do that on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari and Miko is at Miko Alon, or you can feel free to use our hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one last thing. We're always trying to get more listeners and subscribers. We're trying to reach more vegans and make more vegans and all of that. So if you wouldn't mind helping us out in that effort, we would be ever so grateful. Whatever you can do, if you want to retweet one of us when we tweet the show, if you want to make your own social media post about it, if you want to post about the show in a vegan Facebook group that you're a part of, or you want to take out an ad during the Super Bowl, it's coming up in a couple weeks, or the Oscars, whatever you got, no matter how big or how small, whether it costs you nothing at all or millions of dollars, we might appreciate it a little bit more if it costs you millions of dollars, but you know what I mean. We appreciate all of it. So thank you to everyone who has helped us in that effort. And remember, you can help us more than once. And a huge thank you if you are about to help us in that effort. And I just also want to say that today's show is again sponsored by Blanca Pola. Yes, the Vegan Ari Show is brought to you by Blanca Pola. Blanca is an incredible animal activist based in Mexico. And she has been doing this beautiful artwork where she paints companion animals. And these paintings are vibrant. They're gorgeous. You can commission artwork from her and have your companion animal immortalized in these beautiful paintings. If you are in the market for that, please reach out to her and tell her Vegan Ari sent you. You can do that on Instagram, and her handle on Instagram is blancapola.art. I'll spell it for you to make sure everyone has it. It's blancapola.art. So thank you, Blanca, for sponsoring today's podcast. Now, Miko, let's get down to business. We are digging out from the bomb cyclone that hit us on Friday night and then through Saturday. I just want to say that I've been lied to. I've been lied to by all my friends who live on the East Coast. I've been lied to by my whore family, who all told me that, oh, the winters back east have been mild. We hardly get any snow. It's been wonderful here. Oh, it's not bad. I just want to go on the record because where we are in South Jersey, outside of Atlantic City, we broke the record for the amount of snowfall in the month of January since records have been taken here. More snow than in the history of Atlantic City. Okay, while I'm here. So, do you think we've been lied to?
Yes.
I mean, Miko, I just have to give Miko credit. He literally dug our car out from 16 inches of snow. I mean, this is crazy. And this is following a snowstorm that we had just after New Year's where it was just like over a foot of snow. I grew up here. I've never experienced anything like this in my life.
And it wasn't just 16 inches of snow. It was also because we had like wind gushes and God knows what.
It was like a winter hurricane.
Yeah, and we had, I don't know, what do you call them, snow drifts probably up to my waist.
It was insane. So I guess if I, you know, if we came back here in the winter to see if we could survive it, I guess Jersey is really giving us its best because this winter has just been insanity.
Oh my God, we have like icicles that are like 2 feet long trying to kill us.
Trying to kill us. I didn't pack... I don't own snow boots, ladies. I mean, I've lived in Los Angeles for the last 20 plus years. I didn't think I would need snow boots because everyone was telling me how mild the winters were. And so I'm like walking on this ice in like my Adidas running shoes. I'm like, seriously, I'm worried for myself because at my mature age, I mean, I could fall. I could break a hip. It's serious. You know, I'm not some, young, little twink anymore. I'm, I'm like a...
You're a man.
I was going to say I'm a daddy, but I'm more like a, like a zaddy. I don't know what I am. But anyway, we survived. We're here to tell the tale. Okay. Let's get to this week's news because a lot has been going on in this country, specifically in the political realm. One of the biggest stories this week was that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer has said that he is going to retire from the court, which means that Biden will be appointing our next Supreme Court justice. Of course, Breyer is a liberal, so Biden will be replacing him with another liberal. It won't change the makeup of the court that way. It'll still be 6-3 conservative. But this is big news because Biden has said that he is going to replace Breyer for the first time with a black woman on our court. And obviously that's long overdue. And I think that that is would be groundbreaking and something that would be a big deal. Miko, what do you make of, I mean, obviously the makeup of the court, conservative liberal, won't change, but what do you make of this news?
I mean, it's an amazing historic opportunity. I think that we are going to face, unfortunately, a two-front battle to get this confirmation done, because if this was a normal society, we would follow the rules that Republicans themselves have established, Mitch McConnell, and now the confirmation process is, it bypasses the filibuster. It can be done in 8 days, as happened with Tony Barrett.
Or as we like to call her, Aunt Lydia.
Right. And I think the whole confirmation process for her took just short of 30 days. But already Republicans, some of them are howling and saying, no, 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 we need to take our time. We need to pick candidates. And of course, because they're racists, they're complaining about the fact that this appointment will be the first black woman Supreme Court justice, which was Biden's campaign promise, which is, I just can't understand why everything has to be in this country like this, that when Democrats are in charge, it seems like Republicans are in charge. Already, I feel like roadblocks are being announced ahead of this, appointment. And I really hope that this doesn't come down to people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema again fucking things up for the Democratic Party.
Well, we'll see. But I think that, to be complaining that he wants to appoint a black woman, that's pretty fucking racist, considering that, the court's over 200 years old, and for the history of the court, it's primarily been white men. We talked a little bit about, just how racist our culture is, and I think that, that speaks right to it. This court has only had a very small handful of women, an even smaller handful of people of color. It's really shocking and sad, but again, this is this country. I think that this is would be the right thing for Biden to do, and like you said, he campaigned on it. So it's about time.
And what perspective is more missing from the Supreme Court today than that of black women who have been saving America in the last several elections?
No shit. So unfortunately though, it's not going to change the makeup of the court.
Right. Did you see some of the conservative commentators who I follow who are sane had these crazy ideas, which I was just kind of like, Bill Kristol was one of them. I'm trying to think of who the other one was. But they basically said that what Joe Biden should do in this moment is put Kamala Harris on the Supreme Court and replace her vice presidency with Mitt Romney or Liz Cheney. And I was like, this is again where the Republican brain doesn't work. Why on earth would Democrats, first of all, why would we take the vice presidency from Kamala Harris? And second of all, why on earth would we put a Republican as a vice president? Has anyone been paying attention to the fascist, racist cult that the Republican Party has become? First of all, the names being floated like Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney are not friends of democracy. Like, yes, Liz Cheney draws the line at
a domestic terrorist attack, right?
But she's against voting rights. So is Mitt Romney. What exactly have Republicans done to deserve anything except the urgent need to atone and apologize and work with Democrats to undo the horrible, catastrophic damage that they have been inflicting on this country since certainly 2016 and before?
President Biden's not going to do that. You know, I think that the media has headed out for Kamala Harris since the beginning. I'll be honest. Like, I think that there's a lot of racism hurled at her and sexism hurled at her. And I think I think it's disgusting. You know, we saw this during the debates. Like, I remember when she was debating Mike Pence and everyone was saying, well, I mean, she can't come across to this way or that way, because if she does, then people are going to say she's an angry black woman. And I was like, why do we just accept this narrative that, like, the stereotype of an angry black woman, like, it was so fucking racist and sexist that she was being held to this totally other standard than Mike Pence. So Mike Pence is allowed to be angry. He's allowed to be whatever he wants because he's a white man. But she has to, like, watch all of her, you know, P's and Q's, because God forbid, you know, she comes across as too forceful. People might think she's an angry black woman. The whole thing was just so disgustingly racist and sexist. And I think that I feel like that's played out a lot, you know, since she took her position as vice president. President Biden, first of all, like, to think that he would be able to govern with someone like Liz Cheney or Mitt Romney as his VP, it's just stupidness. Like, yes, Liz Cheney draws the line at attacking the Capitol building. Yes, Mitt Romney voted for one of the counts of impeachment. But on every single policy issue, they're in disagreement. I mean, Liz Cheney's a gun nut. She's anti-abortion. You know, she is. Did we see her vote for the voting rights bill? No, we did not. Did we see Mitt Romney stand up for that? No, we did not. The whole thing is absurd.
Right. And they were saying that this could be a great moment of national unity. Let me ask a question. Why is it always supposedly up to Democrats to have national unity with, frankly, Nazis and racists? Do you remember all the calls for unity aimed at Trump and Republicans when he allegedly won the election?
No. You know what I remember? Fuck your feelings.
Yeah.
That's what they said to us.
Even though Hillary Clinton got more votes.
I know. Yeah. Okay. All right. Also, in the political realm, I think it's very important that we bring up that we have a cat in the White House.
We love the cat.
The Bidens have adopted a cat. This cat is a beautiful silver tabby, just like my Minnie was. And her name is Willow. And I hope we see her peeking around in, like, press conferences and in the Oval. She's really cute. And I love it. I just love that they're so into animals. Like, you know, they have two dogs and now they have a cat. I think it's really sweet.
Did you hear the story of how Willow came to be the first cat?
I did not.
So apparently, I want to say back in 2020, there was a campaign event where she interrupted Jill Biden. And that's how, I guess, the start of a love affair.
So the cat...
They met. Jill Biden and Willow met in 2020.
Oh, that's very interesting. Well, I think this is the first time we're having a cat in the White House since Bill Clinton. Because the Clintons had a cat named Sox. I remember Sox. So I don't think that the Bushes had a cat. They might have had dogs. The Obamas, of course, had dogs. Or one dog. I know they had Bo.
I think there's a whole history of presidential.
But Trump was like the first one to not have like any animals.
No, I mean, he's
because he's evil. He's evil.
He's the devil.
Right.
The only they said the only lap dog there was Lindsey Graham.
Oh, dear. Okay. Also, in the political realm this week, there seems to be a lot of discussion about this book banning shit that's going on in certain states. There was a big story this week that I forget. I wish I could remember which state it was. Maybe you can Google it on your phone. But one of them banned a book called Mouse, which is...
I want to say it was Tennessee.
It was either Tennessee or Kentucky. They banned a book called Mouse, which is an illustrated book. It's kind of like a comic book.
They're called graphic novels now.
Okay, I'm sorry. My apologies to the graphic novel community. But it's about the Holocaust, and they banned it because supposedly on I guess it was violent or the language in it, whatever. And then there's been like a list of books that these school districts are looking at banning, and you know, a lot of people are. I mean, I'm not the only person to say this, of course, but like. we're banned. So now we're like banning books, like the way that like they did in like, you know, 1930s Germany. And also, what are we like? So if we're banning these books, we're protecting kids from what? From ideas? Like, what are we doing here? And why is it acceptable that to have like gun drills and stuff in schools for assault rifles that we don't have bans on, but books are too dangerous? What the fuck is going on?
Well, look at what, you know, we talked about this, I think, last week's show. We have these efforts to ban books. We have several states that are mandating that teachers either submit their proposals for, you know, curricula for approval. There's Florida is planning a, you know, teachers have to wear microphones so parents can eavesdrop on what's being taught their kids. I mean, these are like, I feel like, wasn't there a time when we universally believed that banning books and burning books was wrong?
Well,
and these are all books that deal with largely that they're trying to ban with racism, a lot of LGBTQ plus. I mean, that in itself is not new. I mean, the wing nuts of the religious right have been trying to ban books with any LGBT content for a long time. But it is very troubling. I think it's a part of this authoritarian trend in the Republican Party. This past week, also, Trump had one of his Nazi KKK incel Nuremberg rallies, where he announced that he wants to pardon, if he, you know, becomes president again, the January 6th terrorists. And again, here is the Republican Party that used to be proudly pro-cops, but I guess pardoning cop killers is now okay, and it's a part of their brand. So to me, it's a part of a larger authoritarian, totalitarian trend in the party, normalizing things like that.
Yeah, and going back to, you know, the books, I mean, last week we spoke about, you know, in Florida, how they're looking at a bill that would ban teaching anything that makes white kids feel uncomfortable with regards to history or racism. But now this week there's another bill that would ban teaching books or having kids read books that have LGBTQ plus content. And I feel like, you know, obviously that's so personally offensive. I don't know what it is about my life or other LGBTQ plus people's lives that's so offensive, or that we can't talk about them in school. And like, I feel like this is just an attempt to erase LGBTQ plus people, and you're never going to be able to erase us. We're here. You know, we've always been here. And so I feel like it's just so disgusting to me. Like, so you're fine with, you know, I don't know, kids reading. I mean, the funny thing, or funny just in a disgusting way, like, so you're fine with kids reading Shakespeare, like a play like King Lear, with like, God knows how many people are murdered in that book and murdered violently. I mean, people's eyes are ripped out, people like blood splattering everywhere. You're fine with kids reading that. But you're not okay with kids reading about, you know, just a girl who falls in love with another girl or what. Like, it is just, it's so fucked up. And I don't know. I don't know if this is just like a backlash to Biden's election or to, you know, the calls for equality and police reform after, you know, the murder of George Floyd. I don't know. But I feel like it seems that the right wing is going off a very dangerous cliff. I mean, they have been for a while, but when you start talking about banning books, I mean, this is really stuff that when I was going to school, at least, they taught us was, you know, signs of really bad things to come.
Right, but also, I don't know if we talked about this. I think that equally disturbing is this whole attempt to control teachers and what teachers are allowed to teach. It used to be that if you didn't like public school education, you would homeschool your kids, and you can, you know,
yeah,
tragically give them, you have the right to give them your kooky views. But the idea now that extreme, because these are right-wing parents who are trying to basically purge any discussion of racism and LGBTQ plus people from kids' lives. You don't have the right to dictate to other people how their children are taught. And
but
I think that is the very disturbing thing that I don't think we've seen before from the right.
But do you think that this is a backlash to, you know, like, I mean, over the last few years, you know, we've had marriage equality made legal throughout the country. I mean, obviously, you know, following the murder of George Floyd, there were, you know, major discussions going on around the country about racism and discrimination and calls for equality and for change. And, you know, and I think that people who are racist, you know, or they're homophobic or transphobic, whatever, they see all these, you know, these strides that we're trying to make. I think that this is them. This is a backlash to that
stuff. I think it's probably also a reaction to the removal of the Confederate statues.
Yeah.
And I think it's less for these people, perhaps, about the removal of the statue, but having to explain to their kids why these statues were removed. Like, why did you have at the center of town a monument to a racist traitor that everyone was supposed to respect? I think that's the uncomfortable question they don't have to answer. And when they always say, oh, don't erase history, we're not erasing history. We're putting history into proper perspective. As we've said before on the show, it's not like Germany to commemorate its horrific history of the Holocaust has statues to Hitler or his generals. There's memorials to the Holocaust. And that's what we should, in with respect to the Civil War, we should have memorials to slavery, to lynching. I mean, there are some, but not nearly enough. That's what the South should, they should really confront their legacy and stop lying to themselves and their kids about everything from what the Confederate flag means and to what the war was about. That, again, how are you going to teach the history of the Civil War if you're not going to talk about slavery, racism? What are you going to say then?
Yeah. And speaking about the Holocaust, I just want to say something as a Jewish American. The comparison, like, I saw something this week. Robert Kennedy Jr. got in a lot of trouble because he was comparing, I guess, like, vaccine mandates to Nazism or something. Can we just stop? Like, it really is, like, painful when people use the Holocaust to talk. Like, the only time you should be talking about the Holocaust is when you're talking about the Holocaust, okay? Can we just not compare it? And like, I don't know what the fuck he was doing, or look, there's a lot of other people who've been doing it too, but like a vaccine mandate or a vaccine passport or whatever, that is nothing like the fucking Holocaust. It is so fucking despicable that people would actually, you know, invoke something where, you know, 6 million people were systemically murdered because of just being Jewish, to compare that to, you know, a government saying maybe everyone should just get vaccines so that we can all stay healthy. The comparison is so ridiculous and offensive. Everybody just stop.
Someone had a very poignant tweet on this subject and said, you know what happens to kids who read Maus? They don't grow up to be adults who compare every minor inconvenience to the Holocaust.
That's right. I mean, we need to have an honest retelling of our history when we teach our history in schools. There is a lot of ugly, despicable shit that has gone on in human history, and people should learn so that we can do better, hopefully. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's very
sad.
Look
at also how
alarming
it is.
What's going on.
We talked about this in, you know, several weeks ago. I forget when the show was, but the amount of people in America who don't know what Auschwitz is, for example,
yeah,
is staggering. People who believe that, oh, there were both sides to that story. And did you see this in Washington, D.C. at Union Station on, I think it was...
Holocaust Remembrance Day. It was,
yeah,
on that day.
Yeah,
yes.
On that day, there were swastikas carved to the entrances.
I know. Okay. Going back to COVID for just a second, you had on our list, you wanted to talk about a Washington State trooper who... Did he die of COVID?
Yes. I just wanted to mention this in case we have Republicans listening, because you're not going to get this news on Fox News. But yeah, there was this Washington state trooper who became a cause célèb on the right, particularly on Fox News, when he announced that he would rather resign than subject himself to the vaccine mandate, and told the governor to kiss his ass. And they had video of it, and they showed it, and Laura Ingraham was celebrating him and saying, oh, maybe he, I hope he wakes a sleeping giant, and everyone does this. Well, he's dead now of COVID. He resigned in October, now he's dead. And I just want to bring this up to say, at what point are we going to start having a real conversation nationally about willful, deliberate spreading of disinformation during a deadly pandemic by Fox News, by people who Facebook, who they, through their algorithm, promote all over the place, even while they're pretending that they're going to correct misinformation? I don't know. What do you make about the fact that Spotify is under fire for Joe Rogan's bullshit?
I mean, it is. Well, that was a big story this week because Neil Young. Joni Mitchell, they pulled their music from Spotify to protest the fact that I don't listen to Joe Rogan, so I don't know. I mean, but apparently he says he has a lot of COVID misinformation on his show. And and that's aired over Spotify. And so they were pulling their music to protest it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird thing. We obviously have freedom of speech in this country. No one is arresting Joe Rogan for saying what he said. But again, it's kind of like the way that, you know, Twitter finally stood up and blocked Donald Trump. You know, what responsibility does Spotify have to protect its listeners from misinformation that could get them killed? I don't know. I mean, Spotify is not obligated to air Joe Rogan. You know, that's where it comes in. And so you see like a lot of like when people on the right complain about cancel culture and, you know, people being censored, what they're not talking about is true censorship or, you know, or someone's First Amendment rights being violated. I mean, again, no one is saying that Donald Trump can't say whatever he wants and you know, whatever, except I would hope that incitement of a terrorist attack would land you in prison. That's what the law is supposed to do. But again, if you're a rich white man, you can do whatever you want. I'm getting sidetracked. My point is that I don't know, you know, what obligation Spotify has to its listeners and to I don't know.
You know what? I will tell you what I think. I think that apparently Neil Young had seen that there's a group of like 200 doctors who had compiled a list of like horrific misinformation that millions of Spotify listeners are exposed to about COVID. And more people, I believe, listen to Joe Rogan than watch Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity combined. I think that when you are a platform and you broadcast things, and this is true of both Joe Rogan and Fox News, I believe, that COVID isn't a big deal, the vaccines don't work, don't get boosted, drink your own urine, whatever random things that they suggest people do, everything but the vaccine, and people die as a result, people are sickened as a result. I think the listeners and viewers who have lost loved ones to COVID should sue the fuck out of these people.
Well, they can certainly do that.
Bankrupt their fucking asses, because that's the only way that these people will stop it. But I'm just saying, how many stories have we all read in the news about, oh, my father watched Fox News and now he's dead because he didn't think COVID was a big deal or refused to get vaccinated. These people got them killed.
Well,
and,
you
know, and the government
I don't
may not
know.
Be... You don't think so?
Certainly families can, you know, launch a civil suit against whoever they want, saying that my, you know, loved one listened to you and now they're dead. But at the end of the day, like, that person who listened to Tucker Carlson or Joe Rogan or whoever, they have agency.
They
it's
do.
Not like they're, it's
my
not, you
point,
know.
My point is, especially I think Fox News is dangerous because they have the word news in their name, even though technically Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity is not news. It's opinion. And there's a disclaimer at the end, or there should be a much bigger disclaimer. But to me, the fact that you give the air of being news and yet you just give your bullshit, ignorant opinion and people die as a result, you should be held responsible.
Well, that's a little bit different than Joe Rogan, who has a podcast. I feel like if you want to listen to Joe Rogan and take medical advice from somebody like that, over, you know, someone like Dr. Fauci, who has been a doctor for, I don't know, over 35 years and has worked on, you know, every disease from SARS to AIDS to COVID. If you want to listen to Joe Rogan over Fauci, that's on you.
Do you think?
I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
I also think that a lot of the reason why people are getting their news from these, you know, sewers is because so many people on the right have lost faith in traditional news media because of the orange motherfucker who told them they were enemies of the people.
Yes, he did.
Because they, you know, challenge him on his lies. And it's just, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of, look, I think that there is mistrust in our media. And I think a lot of that does come down to, you know, Donald Trump demonizing the media. I mean, he said over and over that the media is the enemy of the people. I mean, he said, I mean, there was an attack on a newspaper in Baltimore when he was president, where I think people were shot.
Yeah.
Did anyone die during
that
attack?
Yeah.
I mean, that was so awful. And like,
multiple people were killed.
So, but, you know, speaking of, you know, because we're talking about COVID and whatever, I do want to talk about that, you know, Sarah Palin this week, speaking of ignorant, selfish people, she tested positive for COVID. And then like the next day was photographed eating at a restaurant in New York. And I was, you know, my mother called me about this. Because she was like, can you believe that someone would do that? And I was like, yes, I can. Because I don't think that a lot of people really give a shit about anybody anymore. And I think it is the height of fucking selfishness and ignorance to do something like that. But coming from Sarah Palin, can we really be surprised? I mean, are we surprised?
Right, but isn't... I mean, I will confess that I'm not sure what the directives are in New York State, New York City right now, but isn't it kind of illegal to know you're positive, you test positive, and then you go to a restaurant?
I don't know.
You're deliberately infecting people?
I mean, don't know.
She is such a catastrophically horrible human being that absolutely zero surprise there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I just think it's disgusting, and I think a lot of people are doing that. Just being honest. I think there's a lot of people who full well know that they have COVID who, you know, are just like, oh, well, I'm not really that sick. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I think that's happening a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we were a bit all over the place and kind of a mess, but what do you say we move on and taste some new vegan products?
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products. Okay. So today we are tasting a brand new vegan milk chocolate bar by a company called Tazza Chocolate. Now, this is milk chocolate made with almond milk, and we are trying two different kinds. We are having their classic almond milk chocolate bar and their quinoa crunch. Now, I just want to say a couple things about this company. First of all, their chocolate is organic. It is non-GMO, and they have information on the chocolate bars themselves about using environmentally fair and labor fair practices, or fair labor practices, I should say. So I'm happy to see that, because as we know, there's a lot of problems in the world with regards to chocolate production. So it looks like this company is really trying to produce chocolate in the humane way, and I use humane in all senses of that word, and how they treat people, how they treat the planet, and certainly how they treat animals, since they don't have any animal products in them. Now, Miko, what do you want to try first?
Shall we try classic and then quinoa crunch?
Let's do it. Oh, I love chocolate.
This is delicious.
Oh my God. Sorry, I'm chewing. That's really good. I eat chocolate every day. Like literally every day. I love chocolate. I have to have it every day. It makes me happy. This is good. I'm a dark chocolate person, but I got to say, for being milk chocolate, this still has a lot of flavor.
Oh, this is delicious. Yeah. Very creamy.
But creamy, but not... I feel like sometimes milk chocolate to me tastes like watered down. Like, you know, like I said, I like, you know, flavorful. I like the bitterness of chocolate. And it still has that. But it's definitely creamier than, you know, the real dark stuff that I usually have. All right, now let's go for the quinoa crunch. Oh, it's so good. I mean, that's delicious. That to me reminds me of Nestle's Crunch.
Spectacular.
Very good. These are so delicious. I am so happy we found these. We found these in a local, I don't want to call it a health food store. I hate health food store. That sounds like from another time. What would you call Bonterra? It's like a small market that has like a lot of organic fruits and vegetables. They have a lot of vegan meats and cheeses and whatever. It's basically like a health food store. But, you know, it's not, it's
I think it's because there's this association with health food store, like, doesn't taste good.
Right.
As a courtesy of the big ag efforts to try to make it that way. I don't know what you would call it. A small, great family supermarket?
It's a privately owned market in Egg Harbor Township, which is near where we are. But they have a lot of options that you, what? What's that?
A better food market. There you go.
Okay, that works. But it has a lot of options that you can't find, you know, in the supermarket. They get a lot of specialty items. They get a lot more organic produce. And we do try and get there at least a few times a month because of all of the great stuff that they have. And yeah, it's awesome. So that's where we found these. This is definitely an A+. Miko, what do you give it?
I give them both an A+.
Well, there you have it. Our review of Tazza Chocolate. Look for this in your local market. And yeah, it's fucking great. All right, Miko, with that, What do you say we do some vegan animal rights news?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. I have to bring this up. It's a sad story, and then I'll get to some good stories, but I always have to bring this up when it happens. There was a barn fire. This was in New York State. 24 cows and calves perished in this barn fire. It's just very, very sad. And the reason why I always bring up the barn fires is because to me, it's just like specifically horrific that dozens, hundreds, thousands of animals die this way every single year, and that we don't do anything about it, really, where there's no protections in place for animals on factory farms. There's no means for them to escape. There's no sprinkler systems. There's nothing that we do to protect these animals from dying in what's probably one of the most horrific ways you can die. And I just have to say this, you know, when you eat meat, dairy, and eggs, you're supporting this shit. So don't eat that stuff.
It's horrible.
It really is. These stories just break my heart. Okay, and then I promise, on to some good news. Dolce & Gabbana, the huge fashion company, has announced that they are going to be banning fur from all of their future fashions, including Angora, which comes from rabbits.
That's amazing. I saw this story. I was like, wow.
Yeah, Angora is like one of those things that, like, I think people don't really, like, these companies don't really think of it as fur, because you hear it referred to as wool, even though wool is fur. I mean, it's just fur from a sheep. And Angora is fur from a rabbit. So I'm glad that they're including Angora in this. I know that PETA has now done quite a few campaigns against companies for Angora.
That's horrific. If you have never seen the video of where Angora comes from, Google that. And
really, really sad and shocking. And this announcement has, I don't know if this has been made like public yet. They said that through In Defense of Animals, which is like a nonprofit organization, that they were working with Dolce & Gabbana, and that's how it was announced. But in any event, they are getting rid of fur. So well done, Dolce & Gabbana. Now get rid of leather and silk and all the other shit you have in your line. Okay. Next story. There was a great article in The Economist this week that said that if everyone went vegan, only a quarter of the current farmland would be needed.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is really huge when you consider, you know, how much land is deforested or monocropped or whatever, specifically not just for the animals, but to grow the food that we feed the animals. You know, a lot of people, especially when they're talking about deforestation in the Amazon, they'll say, you know, it's for cattle production. A lot of it is to grow the soy that is then fed to the cattle.
Isn't it something like 90% of the world's soy is used for animal feed?
Yes. So, you know, think about all of the food we could be producing to feed the world if we weren't wasting all this farmland feeding it to animals that we don't need to eat. You know, cows eat a lot more food than we do. You know, I mean, I think, you know, I'm a little rusty on the statistics, but I think it's like, to produce like 1 pound of beef, you need like 16 pounds of grain or soy or corn, you know? And you think about the people that food could be feeding. And we have, in the world today, we have up to 1 billion people who live in starvation. So there's no excuse for this. Okay, next story. Veganuary has some more statistics coming out this week. First of all, they have reached another milestone with a record 600,000 signups this year. And they said that I don't know if it's the majority of signups, but the most signups came from the United States.
Wow.
Which is really cool because Veganuary is based in the UK. That's where it started, and it's a big thing there. But get this. The states with the most Veganuary pledges, California and New York, I mean, no surprise really there because the vegan scenes in California and New York are great. But After that, Georgia, Florida, and Texas.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting because, well, but first of all, Texas and Florida are, you know, they're considered red states, but to be honest, are they really, or are they just suppressed states?
They are suppressed states.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I think that people would think, you know, vegans, they would stereotypically think, oh, Washington State or Oregon or, you know, maybe Massachusetts, like one of these states that are considered more like, you know, liberal and progressive. But this just goes to show there is a lot of interest in veganism all over the country. So I was super excited to see that. I'm a huge fan of the Veganuary campaign. Okay, next story. Starbucks is in the news. They introduced Oatly as an option for dairy-free milk at their restaurants not too long ago. And now they are going to be doing two new bottled Frappuccinos with oat milk that come in a caramel waffle cookie flavor and a dark chocolate brownie flavor.
Mm.
And they're going to be available by the end of the year.
We will have to taste those.
Really fucking good. Do you think you can buy these online or do we have to go to a Starbucks?
I'm sure you, well, depends.
We have a Starbucks on the island.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think we have a couple Starbucks on the islands, actually. Island. But that caramel waffle cookie Frappuccino? Girl, I'm here for it. Okay, also in the news, Panda Express. They announced recently that they were going to be doing the Beyond Chicken in some of their menu items. Well, now they are testing a couple recipes with the Beyond Beef. They're doing two dishes, a spicy mapo tofu and a garlicky green beans.
Mm.
Now, they're just testing it, but this is what they did with the chicken. They tested it and then they rolled it out nationally. Hopefully, they'll roll out the Beyond Beef nationally, too.
I feel like whenever they have tested in any of these chain restaurants, it's always been a huge hit.
True. So hopefully this will be no different. Okay. Also this week in news, with regards to Beyond Meat, there was a blogger that leaked some information that Beyond Meat is actually partnering with Pepsi to produce a vegan jerky. So Pepsi has a new line that they started called, Planet Partnerships. And I guess they're like working with different companies to do like plant-based stuff. So Pepsi, and it, you know, like I said, this blogger leaked it, but then it was confirmed. Pepsi is now partnering with Beyond Meat, and they're going to be releasing some sort of vegan jerky snack sometime this year.
Interesting. I don't think of vegan or other jerky snacks when I think of Pepsi, but cool.
You never know. But okay, hopefully it does. I mean, I know I keep complaining about it. Hopefully it does something with that stock, girls, because Miko and I, like, we bought, like, Beyond Meat stock, you know, a while ago. Girl, we're broke. Okay. The stock is not doing well. We tried to do the right thing. And look what happened.
You know what? We got it as a long-term investment. And we have faith in Beyond Meat. Their products are great.
That's right. Now, Ethan Brown, get to work. Okay. Next story. Remember last week when I talked about the So Delicious Wonder Milk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are going to be doing a whole ice cream line with it as well. So obviously So Delicious, they do ice creams, they do, milk, they do yogurts. The ice cream is going to be using this new milk called Wonder Milk that's supposed to be like the closest to dairy they've ever gotten. And I have here some of the flavors. Would you like to hear them?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so there's going to be 5 pints. One called Vanilla Chocolate Cocoa Chip, Cookies and Cream, Buttery Pecan. Oh, I'm sorry. The vanilla is separate. It's vanilla. Then it's Chocolate Cocoa Chip, Cookies and Cream, Buttery Pecan, and Strawberry. Nice. These are basic flavors.
You know what?
I'm not
sure
impressed.
They're going to be delicious.
Okay.
Maybe they're doing it so that you can really taste the Wonder Milk.
And then they're also doing a sundae style frozen dessert cone that comes in vanilla peanut sundae. Now we're talking. And salted caramel sundae. Again, now we're talking. When you have flavors like strawberry and like vanilla, I'm like, come on,
you know,
girl.
What?
Like,
they're classic. Come on now.
I mean, I'm just, well, all right. But thank you, So Delicious and Wonder Milk. We look forward to trying this on the show. Okay, next story. Do you remember that mushroom leather that we were talking about a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago by MycoWorks.
Yes.
Well, they are planning their first full-scale mushroom leather factory. They're going to be building this, like, it's like over $100 million that they're investing in this factory. And they're building it in Union County, South Carolina.
Interesting.
I know. Again, not the place where you might necessarily think.
The new vegan leather capital of the world.
Right. But again, and they're saying it's going to create 400 new jobs there. I think that's great. And I look forward to buying a mushroom leather jacket in my future. I love it. Okay.
Are you thinking like Portobello or Porcini or?
Cremini. Okay. Next story. This is a story from the UK. There is a brand there called Vegan Wicked or Wicked Kit. What is it called? It's called like Wicked Food. Wicked Kitchen. Thank you. Sorry. Okay. Okay. There is a brand in the UK called Wicked Kitchen. It's sold at Tesco, which is a big supermarket there. The sales have more than doubled in the last year. And Tesco is saying that, you know, this is emblematic of the desire for, you know, more vegan options. I also want to add that Vegan Kitchen is now going to be available in the United States as well. They do all sorts of things. Like, they do plant-based meats, but then they also do frozen meals. They do soups. It's like a big company.
I love it.
Okay. And finally, my last story of the week. This is a very feel-good story. I think we talked either last week or the week before about how there was this effort for people to donate in Betty White's honor on her, what would have been her 100th birthday, to local animal rescues and shelters. And I'm happy to say that this was a really successful effort. They raised nearly $13 million for animal charities. And I just think that that is wonderful and just such a beautiful way to honor her legacy and her animal advocacy.
That is amazing.
So thank you, as always, Betty White. My God, I don't think there's a person more beloved in American history. I don't know. She's really just such an incredible entertainer. And, you know, everyone loves her. So I love that she was just so outspoken in her love for animals. I mean, the truth is, because I know people are going to be listening to this, we're going to be like, I know that she, you know, at times took the side of more of a welfare stance versus an animal rights stance, and that angered a lot of people in the animal rights community. And, you know, she wasn't a vegan, you know, but I do think that overall, Betty White did a lot of good for animals. And I think that this is proof positive of that, you know, in her memory, to have millions of dollars raised for, you know, dogs, cats, and other animals who need it desperately. So thank you, Betty White. All right, Miko, with that, we've come to the end of another show.
Yes, we have.
Do you think we were a mess today because of the snow and the ice? And I feel like my brain's a little bit frozen. I feel like I'm a little in shock. Do you think we were all right?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone so much for listening. We love doing the show and we love you guys. If you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do that on Twitter. I am at VeganAri. Miko is at Miko Alon, or feel free to use our hashtag VeganAriShow. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one last thing, if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the show, we would be ever so grateful for that. If you want to retweet one of us when we retweet about the show later today, or not retweet, but tweet. Do you retweet me or do you do your own tweet?
I retweet you usually.
Why don't you do your own
tweet? Because you have more followers.
All right. Well, you can retweet me, because Miko doesn't tweet about the show, apparently. Or you can make your own social media post about the show. Or, you know, like I say, you know, take out some commercials or, you know, whatever you got. Bus ads, whatever you got. No matter how big or how small, we love it. We're here for it. We thank you. And just a reminder that today's show has been sponsored by Blanca Pola, the incredible vegan artist. If you would like to commission some artwork of your companion animal, do not hesitate. Her work can be seen on Instagram at blankapola.art. That's B-L-A-N-K-A-P-O-L-A.art. check out her paintings. They're beautiful. They're vibrant. And she's just such a wonderful person. So if you are looking, you know, if you're in the market to getting some artwork done of your companion animals, she would be an awesome person to have do it. Like I said, you'd be getting it done by a true blue animal rights activist and vegan. She's the best. With that, Miko, let's sign off. I hope everyone has a wonderful week. I hope if you're in the Northeast, you're digging out and that you're staying cozy and warm. If we do not hear from you this week, we will chat with you next weekend. Have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.